The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Jill Redding. I played Dolores on The Wire, and you're listening to the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 340. I hope all is well with you, and I thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD cast. Before I start talking about my guest, I have a few items that I'd like to discuss. I don't know, maybe you call them house cleaning items, I guess would be a good title for these little bits of information. The first item that I'd like to chat about is that a friend of the show, Sean Forney, has a new Kickstarter for his Scarlet Huntress book. Now, Sean and his wife, Stephanie, have been working on this book for a number of years, and it's coming up to its final installment. It is entitled Scarlet Huntress Reckoning. It's 48 pages of full color with Sean doing the art and the script by Stephanie. And it's a great project. Well, the good news is it's already been funded, but still, Sean would like to unlock a lot of cool stretch goals. So if you get an opportunity, you want to check out a cool book, go over to Kickstarter.com, type in Sean Forney, S-E-A-N-F-O-R-N-E-Y, and you should find it. There's actually a much longer URL, but I'm not going to bother with that. Just again, if you're interested in checking out the project, go Kickstarter, search for Sean Forney, or even Scarlet Huntress, and you should find it, and there you can get all the information and support the project if you like to. So with that, that's the first item that I wanted to discuss. The second item I've already kind of talked a little bit about, but folks, the Columbus Podcast Awards are happening. They're happening real soon. Initial voting is going on right now as we speak, and I'm asking you to vote for the PVD cast in the entertainment division, and also to vote for Matt Talk, my other project, in the TV and film division. And don't forget, by the way, there's a third thing you have to vote for, and that is Podcast of the Year, of which every single podcast that has been nominated for an award gets thrown into the hat, so to speak, and one lucky winner will go home with some hardware for the Podcast of the Year. Please make sure you vote for PVD Cast in the Podcast of the Year. And you know what? I'm going to throw it out there. Just spoke to Jeremy Colley of Can Air Podcast fame just the other day. Hung out with him a little bit, talked some shop and whatnot. So vote for those guys. They are in the comedy division of the Columbus Podcast Awards. And simply just go to columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations. You select your votes, you enter your email, and your votes will count. And if you've already voted, thank you very, very much. If you haven't voted yet, get out there. What are you waiting on? July 31st is when voting ends, so please make sure that you do that. Now, the third and final item that I'd like to talk about real quick is that there's going to be a new project that is coming. In fact, by the time that this episode is posted, you're probably going to see some hype, if you will, on the social media outlets of the PVD cast, Matt Talk, and Three Geeks podcast. That's because Justin and Jason from Three Geeks and myself are launching a new project. It's one that I think is going to really challenge us, and it's going to be a real fun project as well to work on. And I'm not going to give away too much. I want you to go over to the Facebook page and the Instagram page and the Twitter for the PVD cast and find out just what I'm talking about. I'll just give you a small hint. It's a little project that involves a Hollywood star that you've seen in a bunch of TVs and movies. That's right. Now that's all I'm going to say. I want you to check out the social media of the PVD cast and yours truly, or it'll even be over on the Three Geeks social media as well. Very excited for this project. And you know what? Next week, I'll talk more in depth about it. But for right now, just want to try to stir up some interest, get some people going over, checking out the project. It's over on Patreon. Oh my gosh, that's another hint. I'm giving you too many hints. Anyways, I'm trying to keep you all in suspense. But anyways, next week we'll talk all about it, I promise. And now it's time for me to talk about this edition of the PVDcast and my wonderful guest. He is a writer from Canada. He has penned a book called Guardian Into the Light of Day. It's kind of a superhero novel. And of course, I'm talking about Mr. Lance Meredith. He's going to come on and talk all about the process for writing this book. And it's a big book, ladies and gentlemen. It's almost 530-some-odd pages or 520-some-odd pages. It's a big book, chock full of a lot of different layers, chock full of some great action. There's even a romance story in there. A lot of themes will present themselves in the book. So Lance and I talk about the creation of the book. We talk about, you know, his inspiration. One thing that I think we did fail to mention is that it is available at Amazon. I think that was not mentioned in our conversation, but you can go to Amazon, put in Guardian Into the Light of Day, and you'll be able to find it and purchase it. I'm really looking forward to sharing my conversation with Lance with you. But before we do that, I got to thank a great sponsor. And you know who I'm talking about. That's right. I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. I mean, I'm going to talk about a superhero novel with Lance. It's only fitting that I also recognize and thank a superstore, if you will, when it comes to comic books. I'm telling you, World's Greatest Comics, they got you covered. They got everything you need for your fandom. And in fact, just the other day, Jeff posted on their Facebook page that they bought another giant collection. They have more back issues now than they've ever had before. So if you're missing some issues, I guarantee you, World's Greatest Comics probably has it for you. But they also have, of course, current issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various different collectibles. Look, you owe it to yourself. If you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And you can even find them on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics on Facebook. And I'd like to thank all the fine folks over there at World's Greatest Comics for supporting the PVDcast throughout the years. Thank you very, very much. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Lance Meredith talking about his novel, Guardian, Into the Light of Day. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down this afternoon with Lance Meredith, the author of Guardian Into the Light of Day. Lance, how are you doing today?
I'm quite well, thank you, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, again, thank you very much for taking some time out of your schedule to sit down to talk about your book. So could you maybe give a brief summary of the book to the listeners? You know, I don't want you to spoil anything, but just give them a little bit of a snippet, if you will, of what the book is all about.
I can put it several different ways. A benevolent entity living incognito among humanity for centuries must reveal herself to stop a threat to the entire planet and those behind it. But that's just the basics. Think of it another way. Imagine if Superman, Kal-El, for your listeners, if he just remained Clark Kent until an event occurred that forced him to put on the cape and get to work. And after the event, he found out that he wasn't the only superpowered being on the planet anymore, that there were others like him. And all of those new metahumans are presenting problems of every imaginable kind.
Oh, that is a very good synopsis of your book. Well, your protagonist's name is Elizabeth. So let's talk a little bit about the character. First off, was there an inspiration? And I imagine there is, but what was that inspiration for creating Elizabeth?
Honestly, it goes all the way back to the 1980s. Okay. I was heavily into role-playing games at the time. I was initially into Dungeons and Dragons. And but about the time I was 15, I got a job at Burger King and started making the real money. And, and I could afford to buy myself a little bit of a few toys and amusements. So I had subscriptions to Batman, Justice League, and Wonder Woman at the time. And I also went out and I bought a couple of superhero role-playing games, the Marvel Advanced Superhero Role-Playing Game, Fast Rip, for those who are really in the know about that. And I also bought another one by Mayfair Games that was Detective Comics. And my friends humored me. They played a couple of times, but they weren't really into the superheroes. They wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons and more military-style role-playing games. So I had this toy that I wanted to play with, and so I started making characters, lots of characters, villains and heroes, and Guardian came out of that. That was the initial concept. So I've had her rattling around between my ears for decades.
And you are not the first creator to appear on this podcast and state that this project that they had, whether it's a character like you mentioned with Guardian or something else, kind of had been with them for a very, very long time. And it took them a while to figure out how to present it to the world. And so I you know what, I'm always fascinated with that when somebody mentions it, because to me, that shows some tenacity.
Or just a character that won't shut up.
One of the two. Correct, Lance. One of the two.
And she still hasn't. I've got more irons in the fire with her. So stay tuned for anyone who's listening and wondering if there's more. There's more on the way.
Okay. Was it super important to you to have a very strong female protagonist when you sat down and started writing this book?
Well, some of my readers have described her as sassy, strong, and smart. It was just germane to the character, being the most powerful being on, you know, on a planet and perhaps even in the entire galaxy. Yeah, she's going to have that assertiveness and that self-assuredness about her. So it just flowed naturally from that she's going to be a person that is going to look out for herself and not suffer fools gladly, as you might say.
Mm-hmm. The plot of the novel kind of expands over a lot of different settings. So how much research did you have to do in order to make sure that things, when she is in Africa, that things there are pretty much like they would be, or when she's in Avalon, Maine, et cetera, et cetera. So did you do a lot of research?
Yes. That's one of the cures for writer's block is research. If you don't know what you're trying to, if you don't know what you're talking about, then it's hard to write about it. So you must do a lot of research to provide both accuracy as well as just being allowed to flow when you want to write. If in the acknowledgement section of my book, there's quite a number of people. Most of them are medical people, but I did do an enormous amount of research to make sure that whether we're talking about the big fight in Mumbai or British Columbia or Maine or Texas or Albuquerque, New Mexico, all of it. Everything from weather patterns to the local music and culture. Yeah.
You just mentioned writer's block. Are there other ways besides research in order to kind of, get out of that rut, so to speak, in your opinion?
Yeah, it varies from writer to writer. For me, sometimes just going for a walk and not thinking about it. Or sometimes I'll just take in a movie. I'll movie therapy, just going to the movies for 2 hours and just letting some other storyteller tell me their story. And that sometimes frees things up. Sometimes you just have to write something else. And if the characters aren't talking to you, then do something else. Like I've got a couple of occult detectives that are also floating around in my head that will sometimes change gears and write about them. So yeah, there's a lot of different solutions, but one of the biggest things for writer's block is you just don't know enough about what you're trying to write. So research helps cure that.
One of the themes that I took away from the book was it kind of had this kind of this tinge of dealing with fame and notoriety, as you mentioned, you know, like in your explanation. Elizabeth has been not recognized as a superhero for a very long time until she has to. Could I ask, was there a personal connection, a personal reason why you decided to explore that theme?
Well, I thought it was just relevant to the character in the sense okay. that if she was trying to remain out of sight for centuries, and we see in the very first chapter of the book that there's a documentary crew running around this refugee camp in Kenya, and she has no interest in talking to them whatsoever. She doesn't want to even be photographed, just so that no one can pigeonhole her as far as being, wait a minute, how come you're not aging? So that's also part of the reason why she moves on every 2 to 3 years from place to place and has an explanation for it, that her services are needed elsewhere as a doctor. But mm-hmm. Just the notion of fame is, it is something in our society now that everyone seems to want to be famous, and this character does not want the fame and begrudgingly accepts it as part of her role rather than embracing it.
One part of the story that I enjoyed, and I'll be quite frank, Lance, I didn't anticipate this being in your novel, is there's a little bit of romance involved between Elizabeth and people like Salvador, who's the first gentleman that appears to be kind of a caller, if you will, a gentleman caller. I just was wondering, I'm going to pick your brain, why did you decide to insert that into your tale?
Part of it is just pure cynicism as far as women read 4 times as much as men do. So having that aspect to the character was definitely part of the reason why I inserted that. But also just the fact that she has a very big heart. She is very affectionate and kind. So men, and I suppose women, would be drawn to that aspect of her. If you sit down and talk with a few beautiful women and you ask them how many times a day they get approached by someone who's interested in knowing them better, that's 10, 12 times is the answer I've gotten on more than one occasion. So when you're when you have that angelic kind of quality to you, then people are going to be drawn to you anyway. And so having that strong romantic subplot with, well, Salvador was, he thinks he's found the one.
She's not so
inclined. She likes the guy and she loves the banter between the two of them. It's fun to flirt, but she's not interested in dating someone at work or for that matter, dating anyone for any length of time, simply because she's going to move on and she doesn't want to hurt someone. But she gets approached a lot, and when it comes out that she is who she is, or what she is as far as being this powered individual, and later our love interest Marcus meets her and treats her, doesn't treat her in awe, he's just genuinely interested in her, and that works for the plot, and it works for her. She's met someone who's on the same wavelength, and she's drawn to him just as much as he is to her.
Yeah, and I like that idea that you have a lot of layers to the story as well, you know, and that I think is what I was getting at with that question, is it's not just your origin story or Rock'em Sock'em battle. There's lots of different layers. How difficult was that for you to write, to make sure that you get all those layers in? Because I imagine it presented some challenges at times.
It did, as far as knitting all of the pieces together so that they were coherent plots and they made sense and they dovetailed nicely. Yes, it took many rewrites to get the supporting characters down and get the get it all knitted together. After my fourth draft, yes, there were 4 drafts before it even went to the editor, I cut 59,000 words from the novel. There's just too many characters. And just to get it all knitted together nicely and compactly so that someone, it would just be a page turner rather than trying to be everything. It took some time. It took some time to do that, but I'm pleased with how it turned out.
Can I ask about your editor or editors? I don't know, maybe you have several. How was the process of working with them?
I had two editors. One was Clark Chamberlain. He's an American. He's from Idaho, and he's a structural editor. So he looked at the overall form of the storyline, the story beats, to make sure that it flowed nicely. He wasn't so much interested in the actual dialogue or descriptions of that sort of thing. But Clark looked after the overall structure so that it flowed nicely. And a lady by the name of Catherine Rupke, who's here in Ontario, she looked at the actual line editing and spelling errors and all of that sort of thing. So between the two of them, we got most of it, and then I had to do all the polishing and rewrites after they got done pointing out things that needed to be improved. And, but they're both excellent to work with. Excellent to work with on the telephone and via emails back and forth, and it worked out. At least I hope it did. People seem to be buying the book. So,
who does the artwork for your novel? Because I know that there's a couple of inserts with some sketches of Elizabeth, and then you know I imagine that maybe the publishing house helped you out with the cover artists and whatnot. But who was responsible for that?
The cover art was by a fellow named Jose Augusto. He's in Spain. So he did that, the cover art for me. And then I had three artists inside, Alex Chansky, Rene Micheletti, and Sebastio Nicola. And they are in, Alex is in Serbia, Rene is in Brazil, and Sebastio is also in Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah, so you notice immediately that the styles of artwork are just a little bit different inside, but they all did excellent work, I think, for the project, and I hope people enjoy the artwork as much as I enjoyed receiving it from them.
Guardian has won a few awards, including a 5-star reader's favorite. How does that make you feel? Does that give you like a sense of accomplishment? I imagine it does. What was the emotions from your perspective when you got told, hey, Guardians picked up some hardware, so to speak?
Well, it's kind of a roller coaster feeling when you're you hand your book over to a professional reviewer and you're like on pins and needles. Are they going to like it? Is this going to hurt or is this going to make me happy? So when you get that review back that says, I like this and I like this and I like this and here's a reward and thank you very much for writing this book. And that's very gratifying. It is a thrill to receive that. And it's something that you can hold on to when you're wondering, am I even good enough to do this? So a lot of writers are always wondering, am I a fraud or am I really talented enough to do this? So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk real quickly before we move on and talk a little bit about you, Lance. Let's talk. You mentioned that you have some ideas for Guardian coming up in the near future. Is there anything that you'd like to maybe just drop a little hint about? I know you don't want to spoil all of the tales and all of the stories you have in your mind, but what's coming up for Guardian?
Well, all novels, all stories begin with, things are not what they seem, and that's what the beginning of the next novelette will be. I don't anticipate it being nearly the length of the novel that I released in November, Into the Light of Day. It won't be nearly that large. But this particular piece I'm working on right now will be free to people on my email list. So if you're a fan and you sign up for the email list on my website, then you'll get a complimentary copy. The first 500 people who sign up will get a complimentary copy of the next piece. I can't thank people any better than that than to offer them another tale that they don't have to pay for.
That's pretty good. That's a great idea.
The next villain will not be who it seems to be, but we'll just leave it at that.
All right. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Lance for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a proud sponsor of the PVDcast. They're also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Basically, they got you covered for your fandom. So, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can visit them online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. I read in your bio that it says that you fell in love with, you know, tales of adventure and fictional type of tale that you've enjoyed in fourth grade. So what books or literary characters or heck, even superheroes are some of your favorites?
Well, to start out with, when I was in elementary school, I used to live in the mythology section of the children's library. So stories like Thor and Hercules and Achilles and Perseus and the other heroes of myth, I really enjoyed reading them. I think I had a classical studies degree before I hit the eighth grade.
Okay.
But other characters that that aren't my character, I enjoy Superman and Batman and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman. I fell in love with Linda Carter when I was like 7 years old. She really drew me to the character Wonder Woman, and I've been a fan ever since. I still collect her books. So yeah, those are some of the influences, from modern superheroes to the Knights of the Round Table to the heroes of mythology to Robin Hood and his Merry Men. All of these heroes, in fact, unbeknownst to me, when I was in grade 13, at the time I was in high school, we went to grade 13. My grade 13 writing assignment was to pick two writers describing the same period of history. So I did Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. And I also did The Scarlet Pimpernel by Baroness Orkney. Now, Baroness Orkney was credited as the first superhero writer of all time. So unbeknownst to me at the time, I was reading the first superhero novel without realizing it.
Obviously, those two authors, big inspirations. Were there any other authors that you really, really enjoy or had such a profound impact on you that you've borrowed some of their techniques into your own writing?
Oh, Lord, I've read so many books. My to-be-read stack is about as high as the ceiling, but I like writers that are just like reading, just like honey on the page. So whether you're reading Goethe's Faust or Shakespeare or Mark Twain's wonderful humor, there's just so much good literature out there that trying to name one is difficult. The best of the best I really enjoy, and they all influence any writer. If you read them, you're going to be influenced by them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your writing, because I'm always curious when I have creators on about how they go about the process of getting their project going and how they structure it. So for you, when you sat down to write Guardian or any of your projects, how do you start the writing process? Do you kind of outline what you want to do? I know of some creators that like use a post-it note format. Other folks kind of do a video blog where they're trying to get their ideas out. What do you do to get things going and get that writing process started?
There are pantsers, the people that write by the seat of their pants, and there are what are called plotters, who plot out every chapter and what's going to happen in every chapter so they know exactly where things are going. I'm kind of in the middle. I'll write a basic outline of things I want to see happen. When I started writing Guardian, I wrote 10 or 12 pages of just rough notes of things I wanted to have happen and characters that I wanted to see in the novel. And then I just sat down and started writing, and it was off on a Nantucket sleigh ride, just writing wherever the characters took me. And sometimes they wrote me right into a corner, and I had to figure out how I was either going to get out of this predicament or just cut that piece of writing and put it down as practice. And so I write not so much a pure gardener, not so much a pure story architect, but some kind of hybrid in between. Gardener is the pantser, and the architect is the plotter, to use George R.R. Martin's terminology for those two styles.
Okay. I saw this on your Twitter, and I was going to go ahead and use your own words against you. How do you organize your bookshelves?
My library is about 2,000 volumes, so if I didn't have an organization system, I would truly be in trouble. So they're not all alphabetized as nicely as the Dewey Decimal System or system of your local library, but literature is one section, contemporary literature is another, and science, history, geography, political science, law, whatever. Yeah, I have part of having a great library helps figure out those aspects of research that when the internet may not be as useful, sometimes things are just too technical for a simple explanation. You need something a little more technical. And when I'm writing Elizabeth as a doctor, I needed to really delve into anatomy and physiology, and having textbooks along those lines definitely helped, just going to the science section and pulling them down from anatomy and physiology 101 from university. I had to take two compulsory sciences, so why not take those? So that's how I organize my books, by subject, and I try and keep them straight.
I really feel for many years, I've kind of felt a little bit embarrassed about buying all the books. And for me, I will admit, Lance, I'm a comic book nerd, so I buy a lot of you know, collections and omnibuses and those bigger books. And I oftentimes was embarrassed of the amount of books that I've purchased I have not read yet. But thanks to doing research on you, I found out that I'm not the only one that has that problem. There's lots of great readers that have that same problem. So I feel somewhat refreshed by that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something trying to find enough time in the day to read it all, even comic books. I do have about six long boxes of comic books myself. And, and as I said, I'm still collecting some comic books to this day. And sometimes I'll pick them up from the shop and it might be 3 days before I can pick up a comic book, and it's only 22 pages long. So yeah, I can see why it can be difficult for you, because it's difficult for me to keep up with it all. Yeah.
Yes, but I feel better about myself. It was a boost of confidence, if you will. okay, so if you would happen to be, you know, out in an appearance or whatnot, a book signing, and a young writer came up to you and said, what advice could you give me, Lance? What would be maybe two pieces of advice you would give a young writer?
Write every day and read every day are the two big ones. That doing those two things will help you a great deal. And the third one I would say is study your craft.
Okay.
In writing this book, I had to go back to school, so to speak, and teach myself how to write again. So I have quite a library of texts on writing, but there's also so much good material out there on YouTube. If you want to take classes in writing, you can take them for free. That's the cheapest way to do it. And go down to your local library and check out books on writing, and you won't have to break the bank in your education of how to be a better writer.
There you go. Read every day, write every day, folks. If you're a writer, sound advice.
Yes. Practice makes perfect.
Absolutely. With any skill, no matter if it's writing, filmmaking, playing basketball, whatever. I like it, Lance. That's solid advice. Well, let's start to wrap a few things up here. You know, I mentioned it. Do you have any appearances coming up? Are you doing any book signings yet? Or is that something that's going to be happening maybe in the future?
Likely be happening in the future. Comic cons and that sort of thing. We have a few around here. Windsor in London, Sarnia, etc. Just being able to set up a table. I'm still working on being famous enough. Thank you for helping me do that. To actually have people show up at my table and know who I am. But yeah, my answer to that right now is just to keep an eye on either on my blog at jlmeredith.com, or to follow me on Twitter or on Facebook. My Twitter handle is jlmwrites, and jlmwrites is also my handle on Facebook.
All right, final question. I think you hinted at it a little bit. Do you have any new projects that are coming out besides another edition of Guardian? I know you kind of hinted that there's a some occult detective stories that's pinging around inside your head. So anything else?
Between the two detectives, and I've got about 8 outlines for them to write up. They'll all be short stories. They'll all be in the 10,000 word range. And the I've got about 6 more Guardian tales also in rough outlines. So I've got plenty to work with without adding anything more to it right now. Yeah.
Well, again, if you want to know anything about Lance, where he's going to be, the status of some of these projects, how you can get on that email server so you can get some cool stuff as well, you know, check him out again on his social medias and on his website. Lance, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, John. This has been great. Thank you.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Lance Meredith, talking about his novel, Guardian Into the Light of Day. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Lance, and if you're interested in his novel, please go over to Amazon. You can order it right there, or contact Lance through his website and his various social media. He might be able to get you a copy in your hands from some other vendors other than just Amazon. But thank you, Lance, very much for coming on. I really do appreciate it. And it's that time of the podcast where I tell you all where you can get in touch with me if you have any questions or concerns about this episode or any episode for that matter of the PVD cast. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. That is simply @PVDcast. Or if you'd like to shoot me an email, you're more than welcome to do that as well. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. And maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the PVD cast. Well, there's a lot of different avenues for that. First, it's available at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. Just go into the search bar of that outlet, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And of course, if you want an even easier way to check out the episode for the week, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page of the PVDcast, I play a live broadcast and you can check it out there. You can also interact with me a little bit if you like through the comment section. So there you go. 3 very easy, quick ways to getting the PVDcast in your earbuds. And you know what? If you do listen through, say, iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever outlet, whatever app you use, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and you don't really have to write a big giant summary. You don't have to write 500 pages about how great this podcast is. Just a couple of words would be great, like loved episode. And you give me whatever rating you think I deserve, 5 stars, 4 stars, hopefully no less than 4, but nonetheless. I would appreciate it so much. It helps me out, and it's super important. And also, don't forget to subscribe, and then that way, you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out this episode of the PVD cast. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.